Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
MyFCU.org for details.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon. Winner of Emmys. Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother. Look it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother?
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. We will open up the mailbag coming up at 10 o'clock. A little higher, lower at 11 o'clock. Paul Feinbaum going to stop by at 10:33. Aaron Portsline, 11:33. Where do the Jackets go from here? And just how big of a rebuild are they? Well, not rebuild. They're in the middle of a build. But who's going to be the man in charge of it? And what type of guy are they looking for? We will get to all of that. Little fun along the way. This morning, I came into the bathroom after 12-year-old NBC had gotten ready. And it smelled like it smelled like a Macy's. Honestly, like the cologne alley at Macy's. Yeah. That's what it smelled like. And I said, what is going on? And he said, oh, I got a new cologne. And I said, I understand that. That's clear, abundantly clear. But also, you don't bathe in it. And he goes, well, Dad, you got to smell good. And I said, yeah, I understand. I get it. You want to have hygiene. You want to smell good. I totally understand. And so then I started talking to him. I'm like, well, wait a second. Like, how many colognes do you have now? And he goes, well, you got to have some variety. Okay, that's fine. But still, nevertheless, because I know that my wife had gotten him one that he wanted for Christmas, and that was one that was featured prominently. And then I know that about 6 months ago, there was another one. And then yesterday, there was a one of the six Amazon boxes. There was one in there. So he said, I don't know, four or five. And I said, okay. And so the one that he got, which seems extreme, really extreme for a boy to have that many. And I said, well, so the one he got yesterday was, oh my God, it reminded me of the Dracar Noir days, the Jordan cologne days. It was a Mercedes-Benz cologne.
Oh, wow.
So I looked at it and I said, I had no idea that the people make behind the world's ultimate driving machine or whatever Mercedes-Benz's tagline is would also be the, I think that's BMW, would also make cologne. I didn't know that they did that. I know Porsche did that. Porsche had a cologne. I did not know that. I suppose Ferrari has a cologne too. And so Mercedes-Benz has a cologne, and this was the one that he went with. And it got me thinking about, I was making fun of him and mocking him, and he was talking about the importance of the smells and the scents and having variety for all of the ladies and all of these things. I was thinking to myself, I definitely did this. I definitely did this. And I remember, vividly, like begging my mother for CK1. That was the one that he had to have because it was the new Calvin Klein. And Obsession was one that everybody had, but then you had to get whatever was new. So there was like, Obsession and Eternity, and then CK1, because anybody could wear it. That was the deal with CK1. It was just a scent. Anybody could wear it. Boy, girl, didn't matter. That was the marketing ploy for it.
Okay, a unisex.
That was the operation.
De perfume.
Yeah, that's what they were hoping for. And then there was the Jordan brand was a big one. Jordan launched a cologne at one point, and then Dracar Noir was huge. And that was one that was very big at that time as well. What was your first scent?
Well, okay, so as you were talking about it, it made me think of this, and I don't know if it was like a hand-me-down from my dad or if my brother learned about it and asked for it, but basically, and we didn't use it enough because we were kids, but it basically sat in our bathroom in the hall my entire kid life and into high school, a bottle of Brut.
Brut.
Yeah, in the green bottle.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, for some reason, that's the one that we chose. And then I think, Dracar Noir was something that I got for Christmas. That's usually where I get them. I'm not a big cologne guy. Sometimes if I'm going out for a nice dinner, if we're getting dressed up for something, then I'll put it on, but it's definitely not an everyday thing and not something where I need different ones. So like he has them picked out by name, like he knows the ones he wants.
Yes, for sure. And he's got there's four or five up there, and in varying degrees of price. It's not like they're all top shelf. Like I assume the Mercedes-Benz cologne is at probably $30 or something like that. But yeah, he's got it locked in, and I guess this is what they do. They discuss it because at one point he goes, well, Dad, what kind do you have? And I said, I don't know. Your mother bought one. It's a blue star. I don't know what it is.
I don't wear it often. I put it on sometimes.
Like since I've been married, you pick one. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. If there's one that you'd like, that's fine. I'll wear that.
That's what happened to me. There's one that J-Lo likes. I'm like, hey, this is the one.
Reese, what was your first?
Whatever poorly masked marijuana.
The hard streets of upper Arlington.
Maybe Axe body spray.
I definitely had some of that in middle school. That was sweat during gym class and just spray a bunch on.
I miss the Axe body spray era. The kids get insane with that
stuff. Yeah, I wasn't big scent guy. Was just this deodorant not make me stink. All right, and we're moving.
Middle school, even? There was no pursuit of a cologne for you?
There was nothing.
Just clean.
I all thought it smelled bad. So, because when you say Macy's, like, I think everybody out there has a smell associated with the perfume corridor of a Macy's or a JCPenney. For me, it was never pleasant.
Yeah. Places like that would give me a headache too. Like walking by like a candle store with all that in it, like just a bunch of different scents put together. So I imagine that's what a middle school is like. Just a bunch of different scents of these boys running around and acting and telling themselves that like, oh, I smell different today. This is perfect.
But don't do drugs. But if you do, don't spray yourself with a ton of Axe afterwards.
Out of NBC how many spritz he does?
Well, so this is the problem. As a parent, you feel like, you're trying to show them the ropes on so many things, but there are times when things just blow through and you miss it. And so the application of cologne, I've quite honestly missed. I missed it. And so I said, I had him show me. I said, well, how do you do this? And he showed me, and God bless him. He took the thing and he just went like right on him directly. And I'm like, buddy, okay, you got a couple of options here. You can either put, go a little on the wrists, maybe a little on the neck, something like that. But you always want to apply to a hand first and then spread it around. Or you could do like the classic, like spray it in the air and walk through it.
One spray,
walk through it, and then you have the essence of it, and that's it. But I said, we don't want three direct sprays. I mean, next thing you know, you smell like Brian Fantana with Sex Panther. I said, it's so much going on right now that I just think it's overwhelming. And then what I noticed that a lot of them will do, and I noticed this in basketball season when I was coaching all these little punks, is what they would do is they would use it in lieu of shower. So
that's what you used to call Axe, shower in a can. Doesn't work that way,
though.
Does not
work.
Never worked.
No, it's
shocking. I know.
It does not work at all. It's a fail. So we had tuna. I got to tell you, for our sake in the Eastern time zone, 7 o'clock playing games, pretty great.
Yeah.
I was locked into the one. I watched we had kids practice, but usually what happens, I start to settle down about 8:30 is when everybody kind of gets back home and we're settled down and starting to matriculate the littles to bed. And, at that point, that's usually where I'm looking for something to watch. And I remembered that it was on. I was intrigued by the fact that it was the Heat and the Sixers. And so I'm in. And the Heat were up big, and then the Sixers ended up winning late. They won by one, and advanced. And so this is back-to-back nights where you had thrilling finishes in the Eastern Standard Time Zone tip-off game. The night game was not as great, as it was pretty much over in the first quarter. The Bulls were up 18 after one against the Hawks. But the first one was good. It sets up Sixers and Knicks. I can't imagine any scenario where the Heat have any trouble with the Bulls.
Unless Butler's MCL injury is real, that could maybe do it.
Though I was thinking about that on the drive-in this morning, even with Jimmy Butler being out, because you got, 35? Or what'd you get out of Tyler Hero last night?
26-9? Something like that?
That should be enough to beat the Bulls without Jimmy.
And Butler was hobbled, but played the last three quarters of that game, and they still almost won. I mean, they lost by 1 point. So, yeah. I think that they should be able to dispatch them pretty easily. But both the Heat and the 76ers really, really wanted to win this game.
For sure. Yeah, because you get to play the Knicks without Julius Randle, and the loser has to play the Celtics. So, yeah, absolutely. Now, would you put it by the Heat? Put it past the Heat to beat the Celtics in an 8-1?
No.
I wouldn't.
Didn't they beat an 8-1 last year? It wasn't the Celtics, but...
Were they the 8 last year, too?
I think so. When they ran all the way to the final, were they the 8? They ran the play-in, I think.
They're always on my radar just because Dublin's Chris Quinn's on that staff and has been for a long time. And, you know, that family's one of the great families. So I'm always paying attention to them a little bit and curious how they go. I would not want to play them if I were Boston at all. Not in any way. So 7 o'clock, pretty thrilling. It worked. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I hope the NHL could adapt some of this. To me, this feels like a home run for them.
It was Milwaukee last year. Yeah, the one seed.
But it was the 8-1. Yeah, the Heat were able to take them out.
I just saw these, the numbers for the Western Conference play-in games on Tuesday night. They were up 37%. They averaged 4 million viewers. Mm-hmm. So that was for Lakers. I'm blank on who they played.
Pels.
Lakers, Pelicans, and then Kings, Warriors. So that's a ratings win on what would have been a Tuesday night for the NBA.
Yes.
Wednesday's ratings will likely be smaller, but good enough.
I think the real secret to the NBA play-in, too, is that every team wants to be there, and really only one team can justifiably be upset, and it's not even guaranteed that one team will be, because the only team that can really be upset about it is the loser of 7-8 losing the second game. Because it's like, well, in the old NBA, we would have just made it every year, being either the 7th or the 8th seed. But if you're the 9th or 10th, losing it, okay, we would have been out anyways. 9th, you still have a chance to go on. And then, of course, the winner of 7-8 gets into the playoffs and is the 7th seed. So I think that's like the real secret to it, that there's not really any disappointment to it. And every team just wants to go out there and try their best.
Well, and the other thing is it kind of held to the correct form. You know, I mean, the Hawks are 10 games, 11 games worse than the Sixers. They get drilled, so they're done. And I think the Heat will take care of business against the Bulls. I'm with you, with or without Jimmy. They'll take care of it, and they'll go on. And so that sets up nicely for them. I think this is a win. I think this is a win. You bang on the NBA a lot for the things that they don't get right, and they've got a lot of stuff not right in the last couple of years, and they're not trending in the right direction. But that's a nice little thing that Silver has done. This is far more valuable, in my view, than that play-in thing that they tried. This works. There's no question. I was locked into it, and it matters. I mean, playing for the 7 to play the Knicks, that matters. All right, lots to get to. Coming up next, how close was Bama to somebody else for the head job to replace Nick Saban? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the hoops action is heating up, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry with up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and the hoops action is certainly heating up. The Tipico Sportsbook, the best place to bet on all of the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry, up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code, THEFAN100. Get a $100 bonus when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 20 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for more on that. Mark with this. Kevin, let's start with Mark. My 13-year-old, he writes, used his money in the Bahamas to buy $175 worth of cologne, or $175 cologne. He has like 13 different brands of it. They traded at school. When did this start? Kevin, I think, probably has the answer. He says, he writes, at Bo, you got to put a stop to this cologne thing, right? You got to put a stop to it. It's just a matter of time before he needs a $400 expensive cologne that he doesn't like or wear. It's being driven by YouTube fragrance influencers. So it's funny. NBC asked me this. Apparently. Well, I knew that Jerry Fragrance guy from Barstool, I get a kick out of that guy when he was, I like that guy a lot, but she, this is, so NBC did ask me about what cologne I wore, and then he goes, well, how much is it? So I wonder if he was trying to steal it and make it as his own.
Cause they just want to brag
it's a big deal.
How much it costs.
Like a big shot. Yeah. Act like big shots.
There
walk
is
around
a,
like big shots with their colognes.
As far as like YouTube fragrance influencers, I've seen a few YouTube videos where people, you know, they get the sponsorships, and one of them is like a sample cologne one that sends you like a little bottle of it every month, and then you could buy, they send you like a few of them. So maybe get that for him, and then he can try out a bunch of them.
Yeah, get him like cologne of the month.
Yeah.
There's a, Creed does that. I remember years ago they would do that. They would send, because their, a bottle of that is like $500.
Okay.
You mean Creed the band?
No, I'm not taking you higher. Not one of the most absurd Behind the Musics of all time, by the way. Creed the band. That one was an all-timer.
Just the story.
The whole thing. Yeah. They had a moment. I mean,
they're touring.
In the words of Mike and Bone, back when I was banging, like you throw in a little Creed and you go, I mean, that's going to be a hit.
One last thing about the cologne and influencers and stuff. It does sound to me, without knowing for sure, like a lot of the, all those stupid, there's so much content now on alpha male and I'm actually a beta male or I'm a, what's a sigma male? And it's like, it sounds like it's coming from that corner of the internet and you don't want to go into that corner of the internet.
Oh, they're already there, dude. That's all they say. That's all they say. I was listening to, they had a lacrosse game on Monday. They're sixth graders and they were like, one of his buddies did like a behind the head goal.
Yeah.
Like he wrapped it behind his head and scored. And they were like, sigma, sigma. I'm going, oh, for God's, do you idiots even know what you're talking about? Do any of them? He hit me with, Dad, you're so beta the other day. And then I just wrestled him. I just wrestled him right to the ground and said, oh, who's beta now? And then I just tickled him. That's the way that handled. But yes, that is a thing right now, that all of that is happening in there, smack dab in the middle of all of it. It's funny. We are doomed. Oh, dude, we're so screwed. It's done. My barber, he does the, after he's done, it's a hot shave, right? Yeah. With the straight edge on the neck. And then he goes around the ears and all of that, which is a real treat, really enjoyable. It like takes you back to Mad Men days when you would go down the, you know, they give you a little massage on the neck.
Does he even brush it on the like shaving cream with it?
He's got like a hot machine and then so he goes like that and then he puts it on and then he straight edges it and finishes it off. And then the aftershave that he uses, he puts a talc on, but the aftershave he uses is original Old Spice, which is awesome. And it just reminds me of my grandpa. I love it. I'm like, maybe I got it. Maybe that's the scent I need is just old school Old Spice. Like the boys coming home from World War II are slapping on and pulling home the chicks. That maybe that's the answer to it all. I do enjoy that though. I did see this. The Bama job, that was such a, you know, it's interesting. Both Bama and Kentucky were open within 2 months. And I've said, I think Ohio State football and Kentucky basketball are doppelgangers. You could apply Bama football to Kentucky basketball as well, as that in terms of the importance of it. The idea that those two jobs were both open within a couple of months and the idea that neither one got the guy they wanted first. I think Bama was successful in getting, where would we have Kalen DeBoer? We'll ask Paul when Paul Feinbaum's on in an hour. I'm curious where Kalen DeBoer was on their list. How far down? There's no question Sark was among their first calls. Did they call Kirby? Who did they call beyond that?
Did they ever actually reach out to Dabo? That was a weird split at the time. Some people were like, of course they're still going to call Dabo. And other people, me included, were like, nah, I think that ship has sailed. But we don't know.
There was a time when he was the natural replacement. But he just has not. He's not changed. I mean, he still acts like it's, you know, 2016 and there's no NIL and there's no portal. And so that program's just fallen, but they did reach out to Sark and he did tell ESPN, naturally I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it, but it took me all of about 60 seconds to say, yeah, I'm not doing that. He said, I had an awesome 2 years at Alabama. Loved my time under Coach Saban, but ultimately you want to reap what you sow. We poured a ton into the program, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why. First of all, they're similar jobs, right? Texas and Alabama. Far more success historically at Alabama than Texas, But the resources at Texas, I'm certain, are bigger and greater than the ones at Alabama. The Texas is an interesting job, though, because they don't win as much as you think that they should.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's weird that they don't have. It's to me, it feels like it should be a recession-proof job, if that makes sense. That no matter who's there, they should have success, and they haven't. They've had a bunch of people who have fallen on their face in that job. You have an embarrassment of riches in the state. You have an incredibly wealthy, passionate alumni base. The only thing I can think of is if maybe they're not all aligned at the top, if the power brokers in the program aren't aligned, the boosters, that type of stuff, because it doesn't make any sense that they're not consistently great. And he's got it rolling now because he's landed recruiting, he's landed quarterbacks, and it looks like they're as healthy as anybody heading into a new conference when they go into the SEC this year. But historically, if you think since Mack Brown, it hasn't been great. And even Mack, when he started there, he couldn't beat Oklahoma. And it really wasn't until the Vince Young year that he got that monkey off his back and was able to go all the way through and win a national title. But they don't have, before that, go look at the run through the 90s, the 80s. There's a lot of irrelevancy with Texas football.
And now I think Sark is, yeah, like he says, reap what he sows, but in a good way. He wants to get Texas back to what in our head we kind of think Texas is. And it looks like he is on the cusp of it. Joining the SEC is going to be a tough task for them. But that's kind of what this article was about. He spoke directly to ESPN about this, and it almost felt like he wanted to reaffirm that he is totally all in on Texas. And then the rest of the article was, they talked to Quinn Ewers a little bit, and stuff. Like it was like Texas is also all in. So this was a very Texas coming to the SEC promotional article.
That's how I read it.
Yeah,
was Sark was kind of doing some some promo work, like he wanted to make sure that Texas and everybody reading this was set in the idea that he was a Texas man, that he was going to stay with the Longhorns. That, you know, he, of course, he's human. Like, why wouldn't he want that job? Why wouldn't anybody who coaches football at the college level want that job? Everybody does, of course. If he got, you know, interest, he would take it. But no, Texas is where he wants to be because, you know,
it's you could argue it, but it's certainly in any argument of the best job in football. It would be in any conversation, yes. Just like this one would be. And USC, probably there's a couple that are like,
yeah, the list of, you can't make it. I mean, you can't make it five names. Like listed five, it would be almost on everybody's.
Yeah, they would be there. We had this story yesterday in Thing or Not a Thing, and then I wanted to read it a little bit more because it was pretty wild. The ending of dynasties, and boy, can it be clumsy. We get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Your morning just got beefier. Morning Juice with Beamer, Bobby, and Shark.
Weekdays from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft. Going to be a fun one at the top. Interesting to see what happens. My hunch is it goes to form that we've kind of, usually the draft ends up where it started, if that makes sense. If you go back to right after the college football season, a lot of the thoughts that were made there at the combine usually comes back to that point. The idea here is to continue to hit on picks and build something that will last for decades, which is something that they had in New England. The last few years in New England have been very rough. I would say, as a lesson to anybody out there, if you are in the professional sports world and something drops on ESPN and the byline is Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta, that you're like, oh God, what do they got now? Because they do all of these things. They do these long investigative things. Jeremy Fowler's on this piece as well. We talked to it about a little bit yesterday, and the headline from it was this notion of Bob Kraft reaching out to Arthur Blank and saying, do not trust Bill Belichick. The quote on the is exactly that. Robert called Arthur to warn him not to trust Bill. This was backed up by a close Kraft friend. Multiple sources in the piece said that Kraft spoke with some candor to Blank about Belichick. And so that's where a lot of this, and this was a big part of why they passed on Belichick for the job. And A source close to Kraft told ESPN, Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult and obstinate, kind of stubborn, and in the end, not worthy of his trust, and also very, very, very arrogant. Okay, so you say to yourself, well, how does... By the way, Kraft has denied all of this vehemently. Last night, he denied all of it vehemently. How does it get here? Well, I think it's pretty straightforward. Credit, ego, trust, all of these things. And if you think about the position of Bob Kraft, and you think about since his purchase of the New England Patriots in the mid-90s, and what he has overseen from them from a franchise standpoint, when you think about the Patriots' place that they built, I'm just talking about the real estate and everything they built out in Foxborough for that stadium, the facilities that are there, they own all of it. And he turned what was, quite honestly, a pretty laughable franchise. They were most famous for getting drilled by the 85 Bears in the Super Bowl into the dynasty of most of our lives when you think about the amount of Super Bowls that they won. But when you think about the Patriots, you don't think about Bob Kraft very much, do you? You think Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody writes anything about the Patriots, it's Brady Belichick. Anytime anybody talks about the Patriots, it's Brady and Belichick. Those two are linked. They're the ones who get the credit. So from Bob Kraft's perspective, you're going, well, wait a second. Why? I don't get any credit for this. Like, I get nothing? Okay, so then take it a step further. At the end of the Brady run in New England, it is widely reported. And by the way, this fracture started earlier because Belichick, of course, drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. So he thought Brady was trending in the wrong way earlier than Brady actually was. They won Super Bowls after the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's pretty obvious to say that Bob Kraft went to Bill and said, what should we do with Tom? And Bill said, I think we should move in another direction. Right? So Bill's been in charge of the drafts. Bill's been in charge of that roster. Kraft takes Belichick over Brady. Those two had broken. Brady wins a Super Bowl the first year in Tampa. And Kraft goes, wait a second, man. What happened here? I thought he was broken. Meantime, we're trying out Cam Newton. We're trying out Brian Hoyer. Then you say, okay, all right, Bill, we blew that, but I'll give you a chance. And he goes, well, we need Mac Jones. Let's go Mac Jones. So they draft Mac Jones. Well, then what does Belichick do? He brings Matt Patricia to call plays after McDaniel leaves. Mac Jones was plenty serviceable in his rookie year with Josh McDaniels, but they replaced McDaniels with Matt Patricia.
A defensive guy. Yeah.
With a pencil in his ear. So you get him. He's calling plays. He's some sort of boy genius. Okay. And I think this is Belichick going, what did you do to my franchise, man? I'm sorry, Kraft saying, what did you do to my franchise? Do I believe Bob Kraft did what's alleged here? And he's, yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he's plenty butthurt about this. And you say to yourself, well, how's that possible? Why isn't he thankful? Just apply this. Who is Bob Kraft's best buddy in the NFL? Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones waited 20 years to put Jimmy Johnson into the Ring of Honor at Texas in Dallas. 20 years. Jimmy Johnson is responsible for the Herschel Walker trade. He's responsible for the Aikman drafting, the Herschel Walker trade. He is responsible for the two Super Bowls and setting him up for the third. But Jerry was so envious, bitter, because Jimmy got all of the credit for that roster build that he fired him after they won their second Super Bowl, replaced him with Barry Switzer, and waited 20 years. Jimmy Johnson was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame before he was in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor.
And the Cowboys never returned to the level that they were at under Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. Bob Kraft's looking at Jerry Jones and goes, oh my God, was this the turning point? Like, should I have gone Brady? Should I have stayed with Brady and gone with a younger? I'm sure he's thinking about all of those things. So that's how bitterness, that's the seeds of it. That's how it gets to this point. Do I believe this story? Yes, I do. I absolutely believe in this story and in this reporting in this, and that's probably the way that this thing went. But I think it's very logical that it gets to this point. It's not rational, but it's logical.
Yeah, and you're relating it to Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. I think that's a really good correlation there. It's no secret that the NFL owners have huge egos, because most people, you know, you see this every year when the Super Bowl time comes around or when other championships come around. All these North American professional sports, they hand the trophy to the owner. first. And who's in charge of how the league does things? The owners. The owners could easily say, no, the players deserve it first. Let's get them up on the stage first. The owners have never changed that rule because they want to be the first one. They want to feel like they did this. This is our baby. And sometimes owners do have that big of a hand in it. Sometimes owners are a little bit more hands off. I think over the years it has shown that being more hands off is probably the correct thing. Not completely absent, but not being right there in the nitty gritty. The owners that get involved with that and want the credit to look like it's a little bit more on them, I think that results in a bad organization. So Robert Kraft, it's just really interesting that he was able, while they were winning and everything was great, oh, I can hand the keys over to Belichick and Brady and they can be the two guys, and then immediately if it goes bad, oh, that's not what I wanted. Belichick, you know, he tricked me with maybe with Brady and all this stuff. But it goes back to with me, like, well, you're the owner, so you get the money and you still own the team that won all these Super Bowls. That's the payback for it. That's what the ownership part is to it. I'm never going to give an owner credit. I don't think they're the ones who do it.
It was just interesting yesterday as the Belichick stuff gets posted.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he announce that he's doing a draft thing with McAfee?
He did. Yeah.
Like he kind of became an ESPN employee.
Well, he's partnering with Omaha. I mean, he's doing the Omaha production stuff. So he's going to do, like, aren't him and Saban doing like a form of a Manning cast? I think they are.
Yeah, I think he's doing the draft with McAfee, though.
Yeah, you're right. He's doing draft with McAfee. I'm sure Pat will have him on. If he'll do it, Pat will have him on once a week. I mean, there's talk he might do that with Caitlin Clark, too. Have her on once a week.
She was
as well.
In studio yesterday because they're right in Indianapolis. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think when the notion of credit is what gets the root of all of this, and you trust somebody, and in Kraft's mind, Bill did him wrong. Because, I mean, quite honestly, his franchise is a mess right now. They're going to draft another quarterback. I don't know if May or Daniel, I don't know if they're, who knows if they're sure things. Nobody does. Drafting quarterbacks is a crapshoot, man. It's really hard to land one, and then they got to be in the right situation. They have no weapons. They'd be in a better position, honestly, to trade out and accumulate picks because there's no saviors.
That's what Belichick would do. He would trade out for a bunch of picks later in the draft. That's what he always did.
Yeah, you might be right. NHL, they're set, right? They blew this so bad.
No, they've got some seeding to resolve in the West.
But the 16 tonight. Are set.
Yeah, all the teams, are set. The teams are good.
The matchups in the West we're waiting on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God, they blew this. I'll explain coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
After putting up with Dom Tiberi for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
You're probably starting to plan those summer vacations. Here's some advice. Skip the long lines, the crowded cities. Get away from it all in an RV for my friends at RCD RV. Summer nights, who's going to be calling you? And RCD RV is here to take your camping experience to the next level. They provide the best brands, the very best service, and that continues long after you purchase. It's a relationship that starts the second you want it on the lot, and as long as you're with them, they got you. Awesome after-sale support, as I mentioned. Family-owned, operated. You'll know it the second you walk on a lot. They've been around here for over 50 years. Trust me, you're going to feel it. Over 650 new and pre-owned RVs are in stock and ready. Three locations to serve you in Central Ohio or online anytime at rcdrv.com. How did the NHL take three nights to finish their regular season?
It doesn't even make sense. I was looking at like the amount of games on each day, and like it just so easily could have been split. Like if they wanted to take this whole rest of this week and lead into the playoffs starting over the weekend, I think the Tuesday, Thursday, East, West would have been probably their best bet. It's pretty crazy because they played eight games on Tuesday, four games last night, and they're playing six games tonight. And it's like, why not just do eight and eight?
Just finish it all Tuesday or 8-8, Monday, Tuesday. It's absolutely brutal, Reese.
Yeah, and I just keep going back to like how fun Sunday was for the NBA. You could try to have, because you can't ever predict or you can't ever plan for a chaotic finish. Mm-hmm. Like this season, over 3 days to finish things out, it's obviously not ideal. Like tonight you've got really of the six games, only two matter. It's Vegas and Anaheim, Los Angeles, or the Kings are going to be hosting the Blackhawks. And Vegas and L.A. are in the wild card spots for the West. Right now, I think Vegas has a 1-point lead over Los Angeles, and they're really playing to see who plays either Edmonton or who plays Dallas in the first round of the playoffs.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We did this. This is fun. This will give us a vest, since, you know, we don't have a team. We need a little vested interest in this. So we're going to draft. We'll do a snake draft. Reese, you want to pick? You want to pick first? I'll give you the choice. First, second, or third?
I'll go third.
All right, you want third? Chops first or the second?
I'll go with first.
Okay, go.
I'll just go with it. Top team, President's Trophy, Rangers. I feel like you got to do that if I got the first pick.
All right, so I'm picking second. I'm going to zag here because I think the West is more navigable. I'm going to go Abs.
Give me Edmonton. And then give me the bunch of jerks, Carolina Hurricanes.
Panthers. Or no, Canes.
Hurricanes.
Canes. All right, so back to me. I'm writing this down as I'm doing this. I will take the Bruins.
I'm going to go. I get two picks here, so I'm going to go out west. I'll take the other one seed, the Stars. We'll go with that. And, man, you guys picked a lot of those west teams that I would have been interested in. I think I'm going to... Oh, it's tough here now. I'm going to go Lightning.
Lightning? I like that.
Did anybody like that take...
Too. It's me,
it's
right?
It's you.
Yeah, it's me. I'm going to take Golden Knights.
I was going to take the Golden Knights. Did anybody take the Panthers? Did I miss that?
I don't think so.
Give me the Panthers.
No. Didn't you take them?
No, I took the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right, you have Panthers?
Because I'm just writing down mine, so...
Okay, I'm trying to write down all three of you.
And then your final pick, Reese.
Give me the Kings.
Kings. I'll take Leafs.
And that's, Bo is done. So what's left for me? The Preds? Yeah, I guess. Yes. I'm taking the Predators.
Well, you could take, I mean, there's still several other teams involved in it, too. There's some we didn't take. Because we didn't take Winnipeg. We didn't pick Washington.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There are still four. So even after that.
But you have one left.
I'll stick with
then
the
we'll
Preds.
All have four.
I'll stick with the Preds.
All right, so there you go. All right. Last time we did this, would we have a bottle of High Bank on the line? And I think I paid up. Is that what I did? I think I remember paying up to you boys.
Yeah, a bottle of Whiskey War. I think I won NBA and Reeser won NHL. Sure. Or one or the other. It was, we both won.
I don't remember who won what. I remember getting a bottle of Whiskey War.
Okay, there you go. So let's do that again. That'll be the wager on this. Do we have the Tipico odds up on futures? Who is even the favorite to win it?
Who are you looking at? NHL?
NHL
or?
To win the cup.
NHL winner is Hurricanes at plus 670.
Yes.
The Florida Panthers plus 720. Oilers plus 770. Rangers and Avalanche plus 800. Stars plus 850. And then you get into four-digit territory.
Okay. So I did see Matthews didn't get to 70 goals. He finished at 69. Is that where he finished?
Yeah, he had 12 shots on goal, was his second most of the whole season last night. So he wanted it. He was going for it, but he's held scoreless, I believe, in the previous game. So the last two games of the season, couldn't quite get there. Ends at 69 goals.
Yeah, that's crazy to be at that much. And then we also had McDavid and Kucherov both get 100 assists. So that's that group that's like Gretzky, Bobby Orr, is it Lemieux, and those two? It's a crazy list.
Yeah.
You had two guys go 100 assists. Both McDavid and Kucherov both got to 100 assists this year. Kucherov's season's crazy, 144 points.
So he's your MVP. I mean, he's the heart.
Got to be, right?
You'd think.
I'll tell you the other thing they got to do in that. They got to go, Batman's got to get, he's not having a great month. I would say. Well, he's not having a great tenure, honestly, with some of the misses that they've had, although he's enriched his owners greatly, which is the primary job of a commissioner. But this Utah thing's a mess. You saw the send-off from the Arizona play-by-play guy last night.
Right.
It's the first time I've seen a wide shot of that arena and how small it is that they've been playing in.
I'm sure it's somebody's stunning name, but it's pretty like crazy that it's also named Mullet Arena.
Yes.
Like, I just, like, it's like, yeah, that makes sense for putting them in this tiny college arena. They brought a ton of their staff out onto the ice. You know, they're all in suits because that's hockey guy stuff, and they were all clapping. So there was, from the people who live in Arizona, there was some want for it still, but they, you know, I mean, that was obviously employees, but it, like, I read that it was a sellout, and I was like, oh, that's nice. They support him. And I was like, oh, yeah, but it's only 5,000 people.
5,000 people, right. How, I feel like they're going to have to be the Utah Coyotes at least for next year. There's just, I don't know how this late in the game, you start camp in October, just from a merchandising standpoint, I don't know how there's any way you could get a rebrand done that quickly, even if they had it in the hopper. Like, you got to get, you have to have hoodies. You got to have jerseys. You got to, I mean, I just don't think you could make it that quickly from a manufacturing standpoint. So I'm sure they're going to be the Utah Coyotes at least for a year.
Yeah, and I'd probably just wait for a full-on rebrand. And then the Arizona has a weird deal with the NHL where if they can secure an actual NHL arena in the next 5 years, they will get another team. Now, so I don't they're think like, they're going to do that.
They're like the Cleveland Browns?
They weren't able to build an arena when they had a team for many years, so I don't think that's what's going to happen for them, but it is on the table and leaves a little bit of hope for those fans.
All right,
the NHL's got at least one governor from each team on a 3 o'clock Eastern call. Looks like, and this is from Pierre LeBrun, they're going to vote.
Yeah,
on the move. Like it feels like this is the official.
Yeah, it's finally done. Yeah. All right. We'll hit some emails coming up next. Second hour, Bishop and Friends, right here on the Fan.
The only show where sports talk is eclipsed by food talk.
Donuts.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service call.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday. We're sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Fast, sustainable weight loss without medications. The solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Time to open up that mailbag. Hit it, fellas.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You've got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
All right. So I think it was last week. I don't know if it was the absence of my my time being away that made you all in a very, very, all the nice people email. Today, a lot of the angry people emailed. So we've got some people who are disgruntled, as LD would say.
Well, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And then you come back.
This guy sucks. All right. This one, listen. I'm an idea man. I thrive on enthusiasm. So we're going to start with the positive one. The title is OSU Schedule. It's from Nick. He writes, spot on talking about Ohio State's 2024 football schedule or lack thereof. Question for you. Why didn't the Big Ten play the hits, as you like to say? Love the show. Thanks, Nick. Really nice.
It's a wonderful question.
Very good question. Conversely, this one from our old buddy Ted. Talking about OSU's non-conference schedule is ridiculous and you're wrong as usual. Look at the last 10 years of their non-conference schedule, then look at the next 7 or 8 years. This is an odd year, but their non-conference scheduling is right with anybody's. So another poor take on your part. If Ohio State typically does this, just stupid. And which we've never said. And maybe the reason they put the Oregon game in the middle of the schedule is to build up the hype between the two teams who should both be undefeated, which is a hell of a lot better than leading off of it, especially with new quarterbacks on each team. Okay, Ted. At no point did I say that Ohio State didn't schedule great non-conference. In fact, we were incredibly critical of Michigan's schedule last year.
Yeah.
The conversation we were having, and Teddy, this is where you got to listen a little bit better. Nick actually did listen pretty good on it, was we were referring to the idea of the Big Ten had one chance. The conversation we're having was the Big Ten had one chance to launch this new Big Ten, and Ohio State is only playing one of the four new teams. That's the fail. And in a year where their non-conference was weak, and the reason it's weak is because they've added these new teams, and they've had to adjust and cancel some programs they were supposed to play, which has led us to this first month, which is brutal. This happens sometimes, right? It happens. But if ever there was a year for Ohio State to play the big boys in the conference, this would be it. This would be the year to do it. I would want to launch the conference with Ohio State playing USC in year one. I would want Ohio State at least playing two of the four new teams. And instead, they have Michigan playing three of the four new teams, and they have Ohio State playing only the one. To answer Nick's question, why would they do it? I think it's pretty straightforward. The Big Ten knows that Ohio State will rate no matter what. They can play anybody, and they're going to get $4 million. And so what you can do with Ohio State is you can put them up against a weaker schedule or a weaker launching of the Big Ten schedule, and they can still be a masthead at noon on Fox, at 3:30 on CBS, or in primetime on NBC. They can still carry it. It doesn't matter who they play. They'll deliver. They will deliver you a rating, and that's why they're doing it. That's why I think they did it. That's why it happened. Ohio State's not crazy about this. Remember, Ohio State wanted to play Penn State every year, and this will be the last year that they do that. And we'll get into like a secondary rival for Ohio State going forward, because they're not going to play Penn State every year coming up at 10-20. But the reason that this happened, I believe, is because of television shows and the fact that Ohio State on its own will lift up the rest of the brands. The conversation we were having was, in year one of the Big Ten, why didn't the Big Ten play the hits, juxtaposed to the SEC, who played all the hits?
Yeah, and I get, like, Ohio State, Oregon, at Oregon in the middle of the season. That is going to have a lot more hype around it, and it is going to be exciting. We sort of mentioned, hey, maybe they could have put that game at the beginning, but that's not really the point. The discussion about the beginning of the season was a little bit less about Ohio State and more about the Big Ten at large, because as I remembered, there was no Big Ten games in week one, and then we looked it up. There's only one Big Ten game, Big Ten versus Big Ten, in the first 2 weeks of the season, and it's Michigan State at Maryland, as you are adding four new members to the conference, and none of them play a Big Ten game in those first 2 weeks. That's where they needed to get off on that jump start. On the out-of-conference schedule for Ohio State, I think, it's slightly about Ohio State, but it's really more about college football at large. That I've been a big proponent of this for a couple of years now, that we need to normalize the schedule a little bit more. It needs to get to a certain amount of conference games, a certain amount of out-of-conference games along with that, but they have to have stipulations on who you should schedule. If they're really interested in pulling ahead and creating any sort of Super League or anything like that, there has to be just a little bit more uniformity in how they schedule, so you don't end up with three cupcakes or four cupcakes if you're one of the conferences that's still playing eight conference games a year. Like, that's just not good for business, and I think Buckeye fans struggle with this because they want Ohio State to be the best. It is not wrong to want entertainment out of your team, even though that comes with more risk of losing.
In a 12-team playoff, you ought to demand it.
Yes, because you're still going to likely make the playoff, even with a loss. And when you're Ohio State, probably even with two losses most years, depending on who those losses are to. And winning against Marshall, winning against Akron, that doesn't do anything for you. It is better to play, I think, in the 12-team playoff, and I hope it does this and the committee does it, because that's the hard thing. You're dealing with people. But I would hope that the committee would see that losing a game when you play a better opponent is more valuable than playing a bunch of cupcakes and winning all those games by 40, 50, 60 points.
Yeah, MAC, Conference USA can't be the first three games of your season when you've expanded a conference, adding Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA. That just doesn't work out.
So furthermore, and I think this was the overwhelming point that we're trying to make when it comes to this, is there was an opportunity in 2024 to take advantage of the fact that Ohio State doesn't have a robust non-conference schedule, and to give them a UCLA, a USC, a Washington in the first year of it. Because guess what happens in 2025? We got Texas here week one. So you think that's going to be a pricey ticket?
Arch for now, Manning first we have start? Texas here.
Well, that's one. True. I assume, I mean, we're a year out. Usually it's hard to cancel a year out. But in 2025, they also play UCLA will happen in 2025 as well. And so you're going to get some of those marquee matchups coming up It's really not until 2026 that you start to get it. Think about this in 26. Ohio State hosts Oregon and Michigan, of course, and they go to Tuscaloosa and USC. That's a lot going on.
Yeah, but so, those years are great, and I'm looking forward to those. And those out-of-conference schedules are really
take
nice.
Take advantage of it. But this year they should have taken advantage.
Yeah, that does not mean that this year's out-of-conference schedule is better because of that. It's still, I'm looking at 2024, it's terrible. It's not worth our time the first 3 weeks of the season. Watch it, but it's not really worth our time.
All right, Alex with this one, he's not happy either. The subject is Monday morning. Clueless about Ohio State's quarterback. Your take on Will Howard being late on the two throws to Smith and referring to the Michigan game makes no sense whatsoever. It's like listening to two old ladies talking gossip. Well, first of all, there's three of us. Second of all, I don't remember the reference to the Michigan game specifically. What I do remember, and I would stand by it absolutely, is that was the most revealing thing of the spring game, was that. And that's why you still have a quarterback competition. Ryan Day told you on television, watch this, and Will Howard was late not once but twice. And if Will Howard would have been great all spring, there would be nothing. It's no sort of competition heading into next season. But he isn't quite there yet from a passing standpoint. Now, I think he's going to win the job because I think it's going to have a lot to do with his ability to run and his physicality and all of that. But there's a couple of things that have been happening over the month of spring that kept him from winning it now. And I stand by all of that completely.
My question for the email there would be, okay, if they weren't under throws to Smith when they went to him back-to-back throws trying to get him in the end zone with Will Howard, then what was it? What happened on those plays? Why weren't they touchdowns? Why didn't Jeremiah Smith rise up and get that at the high point?
Watch this. He grimaced and he goes, that's late. And then he said late again. He did it twice. That's why.
Well, what does Ryan Day know?
He's standing on the other side of the field.
Robert with this one, he's not happy, but he's also much more cordial. The subject matter is Ohtani. He writes, I love your show and listen most days, but I completely disagree with your analysis on the Ohtani situation. You and your colleagues expressed
incredulity.
It's a tough, yeah.
Incredulous.
He's very smart. Incredulous is the word of it. I've never seen it with a T-Y. I never say it that way. At the way wire transfers are handled. I make them frequently, and this is how they're done. You do not believe that Ohtani's other professional advisors could have failed to see the Cephs. I find it unsurprising. I have professionally been involved in so many parallel situations, and I cannot disclose the particulars, fair. But outside professionals do not have the access to the detailed inside information necessary to understand what goes on inside. I've been there and done that. Artists and athletes are often stolen blind by their trusted managers. Even sophisticated businessmen have been abused by trusted individuals. It is one thing to have the skills to make a lot of money. It's quite another thing to have the skills and time to manage it. The subject is far more complex to lay out here. If you want to talk to me on a confidential basis, I can respond to his email. Robert, I appreciate it. I acknowledge that the wire transfer world is out of my depth to a certain extent. And maybe as you read more about this, I just have a hard time believing. It's so much money. It's so much money. And we did have somebody talked about the Jacksonville Jaguars situation. That is a guy who is in charge of hospitality, siphoning money that was, from the outside, would look like it was being used to entertain and those type of things, and siphoning it off into his own. This is just theft. This is what this is. And the fact that it went on this long, the look of it's crazy that this interpreter would just have this. I think even Robert would probably agree with that, that the look of this is pretty wild, that this interpreter would have access to all of this money, all of this funds, that he could steal all of this money over a couple of years and get away with it until he didn't, and Ohtani knew none the better. It's a tough thing to believe.
Yeah, and I'm willing, if we get information from this going through court proceedings, to learn more about it and be like, okay, I guess we were off on that. And I would defer to people who know about it over myself when it comes to wire transfers. But I also read from another person who said that they were involved in finances and banking and said the process of getting large wire transfers done is something that has to be done in person, and a bank manager has to sign off on it. So maybe that's something. I don't know if that power can be given to an intermediary by Shohei Ohtani, and maybe that's a possibility, but it's still just, it feels like way too much money for just gambling for that
also,
to be it.
It's not his guy managing his money, it's his interpreter. Do you know what I mean? It's not his business guy stealing money from him. That's been happening to athletes forever. This is his interpreter having this access. That's why it's a tough believe.
It just doesn't pass the smell test for me.
It's tough, right?
I go back to when this first started to trickle out, where you had the LA Times report and you had the ESPN report, and you had Mizuhara were supposed to come out with a statement, and then that statement was disavowed before he could even get it out there.
So yeah,
you didn't get your story straight then. Now you're now they're just getting their ducks in a row. Yeah, I for me it didn't. It's something feels wrong with it.
Yeah, it just doesn't pass the sniff test. All right, so well, hopefully people are happy. I like it.
But also,
way.
How dare we get accused of not knowing wire transfers and
how many things do we have to
complex
know
financial things?
Barely know the things we're supposed to know. All right, we mentioned this. The Ohio State schedule going forward, 2 more years of Penn State and then not. They've been the second biggest rival since really they've been in the Big Ten. Who's it going to be going forward? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
My friends, if you're like me, and so many men out there, and you're feeling a little sluggish, a little tired, not the way that you used to. Perhaps the sex life isn't quite what it used to be, not sleeping as well at night. If any of those symptoms apply to you, it's possible, even likely, you're suffering from low testosterone. Help was out there with my friends at the Tri-State Men's Health. For me, it was chasing the boys all over the youth sports. I just was tired. I wasn't sleeping the way that I used to, didn't have the energy. Looking for a real lasting solution, and I found one with Tri-State Men's Health. If any of these things apply to you, take the low T quiz on their website. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health. They'll do the lab work for you, have your results in about a half hour. I went through the process. Couldn't have been easier. Couldn't have been happier with how discreet all of it. Licensed medical providers is going to come in. They're going to review your results with you, discuss your options. Then you will make the decision together with the medical team. The cost of that appointment is $99, includes the consult, the T and PSA test. If you sign up like I did, your appointment is free. 4 offices, including 2 here in town, 800-900-9654, tristatemenshealth.com for more on that. This is very good tweeting. This was from, I think it's from Matt. It's from Matt. That emailer sounded like Otani's interpreter was skimming a local bake sale or something. Yeah, I keep coming back to, like, he's the interpreter. He's not his finance manager. I get it. Finance managers all the time. Don King made a life of that. There's no question you can do that. Lots of people do that. Lots of athletes. A lot of, not just athletes, like regular people in life get crushed with their finance people. So that part, you got to find somebody that you trust on that side of things. This is an interpreter.
Like what was Mizuhara telling Shohei when this was happening?
Why does he even have access to it?
Why did it get to the point where he gave him access, if that is true? Why did Shohei not go, hey, what are these $500,000 payments going for? And furthermore, how does he not have an actual finance guy who's looking at this and saying, hey, what's up with this? $4.5 million is missing.
Yeah. You think like, yeah, who is the finance guy and why would he not have a little bit of a red flag on that? Dan with this, he says Utah will be fully rebranded, take it to the bank. The Jets were rebranded after their move from Atlanta, and that decision was made in the summer. I asked Dan, I can't remember that. I remember that move, and they were the Jets right away, but was it something where it was announced?
It had a year, I thought.
Yeah. Did they announce they were going back to Winnipeg, and then they moved? This is tight window. One thing I'll say on this, and just from the stuff that I do with the Browns, the Browns did the new helmet officially yesterday with the glossy and the white face mask and all that. Well, so I asked, I'm like, well, can you wear that white face mask with the white hat? And the pushback that I got from that was because the NFL is very strict because of their manufacturer's deals. So, like for example, Riddell has already made probably 1 million white helmets with brown face masks, right? So you can't make a switch like that late in the game. You could permanently, but once that stock has been made, you're stuck with it. And that's why you've seen that with athletes too. I remember LeBron wanted to go, he was wearing 23 and he wanted to go to 6 in time for Anthony Davis to wear 23. But it was too late in the process. We either had to buy out all of the Nike stock or wait a year. He waited a year, went to 6. Now he's back to 23.
Well, if Fanatics is making the helmet face masks, you could probably just take what the brown ones or the black ones and scrape off that paint. And there's probably a white or something underneath it.
They have not crushed the baseball uniforms. Go ahead, Chops.
Obviously, Winnipeg Jets already had, you know, a hold in there, and so they were moving it back and changing the name back. But it would be within this threshold, it appears, on May 31st, 2011. This is an article on ESPN. The struggling NHL franchise, the Thrashers they're talking about, was sold Tuesday to a group that will move it to Winnipeg next season, making Atlanta the first city in the league's modern era to lose two teams. So appears that they were able to change it from May 31st to the start of the next season that they were going to be the Jets, because I don't think they ever played a Winnipeg Thrashers season. So
no, they were Jets right away. So maybe in the NHL you have a tighter window to work with.
And the original Winnipeg moved to Arizona, right?
Yes. Yeah. The Coyotes.
Yep. How'd that work?
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta had the Flames too, and they became the Calgary Flames, and they had the Thrashers, and they became the Winnipeg Jets, and they're on a short list to get another team in Atlanta. This would be their third go at it.
I don't think it's going to work.
No, I don't think so either. I think what they're planning on is being those northern suburbs where, like, the Braves, I think that's where the Braves are.
Yeah. But people love the Braves.
They do love the Braves. Yeah.
Like, they love hockey.
I will say, I think just to counter that, the Braves were not drawing at their old stadium. So they played in the Olympic. It's where the Olympic facility was in 96, and that was their stadium.
That's where I used to go when I lived down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're familiar. Mm-hmm. So the argument they always made was that our customer base is in the suburbs, and they don't want to come downtown to go to Braves games. So they moved them to the suburbs. They're northern suburbs now, right?
Yeah, they're in that, like, Battery Park. They basically built like an Easton around the stadium.
Yeah. So they go up there, and now they're one of the tougher tickets. You know, they now win, but they were winning then too. And that was a tough get people to go down to, I think it was Turner Field at the time, to go down there and folks weren't crazy about it.
It was Turner Field. Downtown. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking about the Big Ten schedule going forward. So we have Penn State on the schedule this year and next, and then they're off. And it did get me thinking, will the Big Ten have any interest in creating a second rival for Ohio State among the powers? Will there be a team that they play every year? Ohio State, and just to be clear, this is fact. Ohio State wanted to play Penn State every year. It was Penn State who said no. Ohio State remember this. Every Big Ten school was asked to list the teams that they wanted to play every year. They could have upwards of three. Ohio State had two that they put on the list. One was Michigan and the other one was Penn State.
Did Penn State just return a paper that said no?
Blank.
They
nobody.
Are unrivaled. That's their stance at this point.
Yeah. Penn State said nobody. And so it's a crazy mindset to wrap your head in that a program as tradition rich as that would have no interest in playing Ohio State and Michigan every year, but they don't. So they're not. And so as we build these schedules out going forward, my hunch is the Big Ten won't have a traditional rival that Ohio State plays. Well, there's not going to be a traditional rival among the better teams in the conference. And I don't think that they're going to make them play. The natural would obviously be USC, but how many games of the year is USC going to play? They're going to continue to play Notre Dame for the foreseeable future. So that's a heavyweight fight. They're going to play UCLA all the time. They should be playing Oregon every year. I don't know if they are or not.
No, they didn't link up those teams. They just linked up Oregon and Washington and USC and UCLA.
Wild. Wild that you wouldn't have those teams. It's when you think about what the Big Ten did in scheduling, it's stupefying that they didn't just make some of the layups. Like, how do those four teams not all play each other every year out west?
I mean, yeah, just yesterday when we were looking at the SEC schedules and the way they scheduled for Bama, Georgia, Texas, and Oklahoma going into this season, that's the blueprint. That's what the Big Ten should have done. And that would possibly, that's why it feels like to me, like Oregon maybe could slide into that. But the problem with the Western teams, I'm just not sure how consistently great they're going to be because they've all kind of gone through some ups and downs over the last two decades. So that, like, and that's what Ohio State needs. They need somebody who's consistently good. And at least Penn State was high enough that they were competitive most years in the Ohio State Penn State game, even though Ohio State won most of them, was always a good game. And then the teams that are, you know, more classic Big Ten teams, they just can't match up to Ohio State. Obviously, the Elibuck exists, but nobody cares.
No.
You think Oregon will be able to, but the other three are kind of crapshoots right now.
Yeah, it's tough. That's why we were so bothered by Penn State's approach to all of this. No such problems in the SEC. They'll play the hits. Paul Feinbaum's going to be all over it. He joins us coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you're starting your day any other way, you're doing it wrong. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Thursday, 10:30, we talked to our good buddy Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show, SEC Network, ESPN. I saw this story on the Worldwide Leader site from Sark about, it's obviously trying to create momentum for Texas, and I get he's got a lot of it, about how he thought about the Alabama job for 60 seconds. And I was curious, Paul, what is your understanding of the timeline of Saban steps down? Who gets the first calls, and how far down the list did they get, if at all, before they get to Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah, I think if you did it in microseconds, Dan Lanning was probably called first. Sarkisian was likely second. And then it gets really interesting. Was it Mike Norvell? Was it Kalen DeBoer? I think they were part of the next wave, the quick turndowns. Once Lanning and Sark were able to get extensions, thanks to Jimmy Sexton, who represented everyone in the search, they moved to the next core. Greg Byrne, the athletic director, interviewed Norvell in person and DeBoer in person. I don't think anybody else was part of it.
And that was it. And so then you had your spring game over the weekend down there in Tuscaloosa. When you talked, were you down there for it, Paul? Did you go down?
Fortunately, I was able to miss that one.
when you talk
I've seen
to people,
a few spring games.
Yes, I know you have. I feel the same way. When you talk to people that are, and obviously you know that program as much as anybody, what are the biggest differences now that he's been through his first spring from a Saban Bama program to a Kalen DeBoer Bama program?
It's interesting. I talked to Jalen Milroe the other day, and then I talked to Terry and Arnold yesterday, who was there and was on the last team. And both said, in code words, it's a much more relaxed atmosphere. I think DeBoer is your quintessential player coach. Everything's very open. It's not militaristic. And, yeah, again, we're only a couple of weeks into it. I think the real test for DeBoer will come once the season begins and he has to deal with actual pressure. But once again, though, and I'm sure you couldn't help but miss this, Nick Saban was there.
Oh, yeah.
He was on the field. He was interviewed by ESPN. He was in the luxury box. The picture of him with a flip card was pretty funny considering he knows these players and he recruited every single player on that field. But I don't really have a good answer. Do I think Saban was required to be there per his contract? No, I don't. Do I think DeBoer would prefer him not to be there? My guess is yes. I think most coaches don't like the old guy around. But one thing, that is going to take care of itself. Saban will be working for game day. So outside of probably the Alabama game against Georgia, I doubt he will be in Tuscaloosa hanging around.
It's the damnedest thing. I remember when Bowden finally was, you know, it was kind of forced out at the end, but he moved. Like he got out of town. He moved out of Tallahassee, lived there his whole life and got out. And Saban is there. I know Saban bought that place down in Florida, but that him looming over that program, that was such a crazy scene. I'm with you. I was like, boy, I was surprised he was there. I just think like, if you're DeBoer, you're trying to, you're appreciative and all of that, but you don't want that looking over your shoulder, do you?
And yeah, everybody's saying the right thing, Bo. You know, I'm sure DeBoer, you know, can't depend on Saban or no. I don't believe that. Well, listen, yeah. I've never known a head coach at this level who really wants to hear from the old guy. Mm-mm. Because it is different. I think Saban's, I really don't quite understand it. I think some of it's dictated by Saban's wife who really loves being part of the program. And I think Saban probably figured, okay, we'll go to the game and I probably won't be back again. Nick Saban is spending most of his time in Jupiter. Understandably so. It's a nice time of the year. But I mean, the guy has four or five homes. I doubt Tuscaloosa will be that high on his list. Although he has grandchildren there, so he's got to show up occasionally.
Paul, we were, yesterday on our show, we were talking about, you know, how the Big Ten in year one did not play the hits. Ohio State's only going to play Oregon. And that was honestly, that's a game that was an out of conference game from a couple of years ago in COVID that they're making up. But they're not playing USC. They're not playing Washington. They're not playing UCLA. They don't play USC for a couple of years, which I think is a pretty big fail. The SEC is doing it the other way. They're playing all the hits. They're getting all of those things. I get this all the time. And so I'll put it to you. If you were to tell a fan who is not a fan of either the two teams involved to go to one game, one SEC game this year, what would you tell them to go to? Which game would you tell them to go to?
It would be Georgia-Alabama, or I'm going to add one more to it. Even though it would be Georgia-Alabama or Georgia-Texas. And I think Georgia-Alabama is the personification of the league. Georgia, Texas is something really new. There's one more. I usually add this to the bucket list because if the game is at night, it's a different experience than at 2:30 in the afternoon, but that's usually an Alabama LSU game. Alabama LSU at 2:30 is not the same as Alabama LSU at 7:30. I mean, and I'm giving you the cut down version, but I just think the atmosphere at these games is different. There are a lot of great places. I mean, there are a lot of intriguing, probably one of the most intriguing matchups of the year, I think, is this. And it's so far off most people's radar screen, but it's Tennessee at Oklahoma in September. The only reason I bring that up is if Brent Venables struggles at Oklahoma, they're going to start pining for Josh Heupel, who only led Oklahoma 24 years ago to a national championship.
That's exactly right that they will. Back to Texas, anytime I ask old coaches or anything and have a chance to talk to them and you talk about the best jobs in the country, sometimes the list that they say at the top, it varies who they say is one, whether it's Alabama or Ohio State, USC. It's usually typical ones. But one that's always on that list is Texas. They have not had the same sustained success that some of those other programs have had, but they are awful healthy now. When you look at Sark and Texas going into the SEC in year one, are they ready for what's coming their way? Their schedule is obviously very, very ambitious.
I think they are, and it's somewhat surprising because 3 years ago when we heard the announcement that they were heading this way, they didn't look like they were. But Sark has just made a massive impact in recruiting. What's interesting is this, and I'm actually going to their game this weekend in Norman. I'm not sure Oklahoma is ready, Bo, and that's that's the running and drafting partner of Texas. Yeah. They just don't seem quite clicking, and I think Venables had a good year last year, but he had a miserable year the first year, and there is some trepidation by some of my friends out in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think that is justified. All right, Mark Pope, he gets the Kentucky job. 22,000 people fill Rupp on Sunday. It's certainly a feel-good story, but as you know, at Kentucky, now you got to go win, and you got to win a lot. Do you think that he will, and to what level?
I think Mitch Barnhart turned that situation. He's the athletic director. He turned that thing around about as dramatically in a 48-hour period as I've ever seen. This was one time you did have to win the press conference because if you didn't, you were heading toward a disaster. So I think Pope did. I worry about this year, though, because I don't think he has a roster left. Cal took care of that. But ultimately, he has buy-in from, and what I'm hearing, and you hear probably from those people as well, is it's everything is returned to pre-Calipari. It's like it will be like that 15 years did not happen. The national championship banner, because Calipari really did change that culture. You've seen it at Oklahoma, at Ohio State, when somebody new comes in and does it a different way. They are so steeped in tradition, and they really did resent Cal, but he kept winning until he didn't, so they stuck with him.
It's going to be fascinating to see how that all goes. Great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bo.
All right, that's Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show, SEC Network, ESPN, of course. Yeah, the Venables part of that is pretty fascinating. I do think Oklahoma is one of those programs that, and they are a Mount Rushmore. Honestly, they're more Mount Rushmore than Texas is. They've accomplished far more national titles, Heismans, all of it. It's not close. They're far better program, far stronger program. When we talk to people at Oklahoma, they say they're ready. They say the money's ready. They say the recruiting's ready. But when you look at the program and you look at Venables, it does feel like that they could slip quickly. And you think about a schedule that used to be one, and they were one of the big reasons that all of this happened, because remember, they weren't selling out their home games because they didn't have enough games that brought people into the gates. Well, now all of a sudden you're going to have that. Like the idea that you're going to be closing every season with LSU, you're going to play Texas in the middle, they're playing Alabama this year. It's a full day. So they will be something certainly to monitor year one in the Southeastern Conference. We get Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or Not a Thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one up today, Albert Breer. He shared this yesterday. A fascinating detail. The Commanders are hosting LSU QB Jaden Daniels, North Carolina QB Drake May, Michigan QB J.J. McCarthy, and Washington QB Michael Penix on their 30 visits together tonight, which was yesterday, and tomorrow, which is today. Per sources, they're part of a much larger group of prospects coming as well. Thing or not a thing?
So, 30 visits together. All right, let me get this straight. So they're hosting, they're doing it together. Wow. That's interesting. That is very interesting that they would, so they're bringing them all in one more time. By now, sometimes I feel like this is paralysis by analysis. I mean, how many times have you met with Jaden Daniels? How many times have you met with Drake May?
Maybe that's why they wanted to do it all at once. They're like, I'll bring them all in and have it a couple days.
One more time. It's like, geez, like you know it. The tape's the tape. The hard part of it is this is such an inexact science at quarterback. I mean, there's so many misses that happened. And even when you think you have it right, you don't. You can get it sort of right and miss a home run. I mean, I think the Browns did that with Baker. They got Baker sort of right, but they missed on Allen and Lamar, you know? And it's like, gosh, that's what makes it all so difficult. It's tough. I think this seems like overkill to me. It feels like paralysis by analysis.
Yeah, and but every year this happens.
Yeah.
Right? Where you just, someone's going to miss, and someone's going to miss bad.
Yeah.
Someone's going to miss bad, and you're going to know soon. Like, you're going to know maybe like the second week of the season, it feels like, because these guys don't get any time even to develop. Like, even if the initial analysis was right on some of these younger quarterbacks, they start them too early for the 95% of them. Yeah. You break that toy, you don't really get a chance to fix it.
Another weird factor with it, too, is like this sounds more like big game on campus, bring a bunch of recruits and show it off to them. And then maybe they see some of the other recruits and they get competitive and want to take the offer. And it's like, you have the draft pick, Washington.
Yeah.
You don't have to sell these guys on Washington. You just pick them.
Looks like Iowa found someone to help fill the void left by Caitlin Clark. On Wednesday, Lucy Olson, the number 3 scorer in Division I women's basketball last season at Villanova, announced her transfer to Iowa on social media. Olson averaged more than 23 points per game for the Wildcats. They lost in the WBIT finals to Illinois. Olson led Villanova in scoring in all but 7 games this season. She was the Big East's most improved player and unanimous all-Big East first team. She's got one more year of eligibility remaining she will use in Iowa. Thing or not a thing?
Not a thing. She's not Caitlin Clark. You're not going to be. Did you guys see Caitlin Clark yesterday in Indy with Greg Doyle, the Indy Star columnist?
That was odd. Yeah, that was odd, uncomfortable, and weird, all wrapped into one.
So I think it was all done on purpose to create buzz for him and his column. He wrote a column apologizing to her about it. I think it was all fairly. I think it was all part of his plan.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem very popular in Indianapolis.
So he was been everywhere. I mean, he was a national columnist for a long time, national writer for a long time, and then like it's been probably a decade or so. He wanted to be a columnist in, I think it's his hometown paper with the Indy Star. And so he did it. Yeah, no, very awkward, unbecoming, all of the things. Weird. Just odd. Odd choices. But I guess he wins. We talked about it. Everybody's tweeting about it. No one was tweeting about him yesterday. Yeah. It's one of those all attention is good attention, good or bad.
But I agree with you. For Iowa women's basketball, maybe this is enough that can keep them like in a tournament, you know, team. But it's not going to replace Caitlin Clark. Nobody's going to be able to do that. And that was always the problem. It's evaluating how good the Iowa team was absent Caitlin Clark was really hard to figure out over the last couple of seasons. But my hunch is that they're not really anywhere near that good without Caitlin Clark. So this will help, and probably, Bluter's a good coach, maybe keeps him in the tournament. Also, did you see Clark, an 8-figure Nike shoe deal for her? And a signature shoe coming as well.
Yeah, well, Sabrina Ionescu has a signature shoe as well, and a lot of the guys in the league wear it. There was a story about it. When I was at Kentucky watching them practice, like all of their guards were wearing the shoe.
Was it lightweight and 4 shooters? Is that why people like it?
Yeah, light. It was light. A lot of people wearing it.
Clark and Sabrina Ionescu, they're probably going to do that thing next year at the All-Star weekend and do the 3-point contest against NBA guys, because they alluded to it after Sabrina and Steph faced off this year, that like, hey, maybe get together with this next year.
I love it.
Yeah, get Caitlin involved with that as well. From The Athletic, Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce is set to host the game show Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? Amazon announced a 20-episode spinoff of the popular game show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader will air and premiere on Prime Video. Kelce said in a release, quote, I grew up loving game shows, and I'm excited to be following in the footsteps of so many TV icons by hosting my very first one with Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? The original show is a great success, so to be bringing a new format with everyone's favorite celebrities to the screen will definitely be entertaining. I'm just happy to be on the hosting side of the equation here and excited to see how these famous faces keep up, end quote. Kelce's show will follow the premise of the original, featuring an adult contestant who relies on a group of fifth graders to help them answer 11 questions on a range of subjects to win a $100,000 prize. Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, though, will substitute the fifth grade students with celebrities. Thing or not a thing?
Two things on this. Number one, everybody wants to host a game show because it's the best job ever.
And it's not like, hard.
It's real easy. Once you get it down, it's easy. Like, Wheel of Fortune tapes like 4 times a month, and the rest of the time you're off, and Sajak crushes it. So, like, that's why Rogers was pursuing Jeopardy. Like, it's a great gig to be able to do it. So it's a great job. So that's certain. I also think that Travis Kelce, who is, I think, for the most part, liked, I think we're headed for the, you know, hero long enough, be the villain.
Yeah,
I think you're headed for just so much Travis Kelce over the last year that it's going to start to go the other way. You can almost see the wave cresting on that.
It's not a thing. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the chance when he is very charismatic on that show. People start to actually ask if he could do like the big boy network game shows. Like, could he do Pat Sajak after he leaves Wheel?
Yeah, because a lot of these celebrity...
Could he do Jeopardy while they're still looking for somebody?
A lot of these celebrity ones are just one show per week, so even that time constraint is a lot. But they put it in prime time. That's what they've been doing. Kiki Palmer hosts one now. I can't even keep track of them because I don't care. But yeah, they're just like, oh, we'll just take the game shows that we already own and put celebrities on them and put it in prime time. Real well, creative it's still executives.
Cheaper. It's real. It's still cheaper than promote than like producing content.
Yeah, like and easier.
Building a show and paying writers and producers and actors and all of that. It's one set. You pay one guy, and he's gonna. They'll probably have to pay the celebrities to do it. Like they're not going to do it out of the goodness of their hearts. You have to pay them a little bit to do it, but that's it. So it's nothing from a purchase standpoint. It's pretty easy from a cost standpoint, rather, I would say. So, all right, good stuff, boys, on that side of things. All right, coming up in the final hour of the program, we got a little higher or lower for you. Also, the Detroit Lions, I just saw this. The Detroit Lions handled something about as well as you can handle it. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion. I have nothing else to say. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Not interested in Iowa football? Too bad. Shops will tell you about it anyway. This is Bishop and Friends.
Never forget the late, great John F. Wolfe. One time, Dommy and I were talking to him. He said, if you have a secret, tell nobody. That was his piece of it. Pretty good. Good advice. And we saw it earlier this week with the Cleveland Browns and their helmet. The fact that it had been leaked not only a couple of weeks ago at the owners' meeting, but earlier this week, Eric Metcalf leaked it because what they had done is they had sent a bunch of helmets to celebrities or Browns, celebrity Browns backers, former players, and then the idea was, we'll drop the helmet on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and then you will post after that with your opening up the helmet and the excitement of it. And it there was directions to do that and to wait to a certain time. In fact, they went to such an extent that some of the helmets, the delivery date was supposed to be yesterday was when they were going to do them, and instead it got there a day earlier, which is how it ended up online. Eric dropped it off of his social, but at that point it's cooked. So there are a lot of teams that are doing this. In fact, we saw Cal McNair, their white uniform with the Texans got leaked, and then there were so many details about it that he put it out there himself, way ahead of their reveal. So this just happened again. The Detroit Lions are getting new uniforms, and from the what I'm looking at this morning, they've leaked, and they leaked according to, it looks like they leaked from a Fanatics ad. So
more good press for Fanatics.
So it looks like Fanatics ad leaked the new uniforms. Now, instead of denying it, the Lions kind of crushed it. They had defensive tackle Alim McNeil. They put this out from him. Do you have it, Reese?
Whoever leaked the uniform video, we appreciate it. We appreciate you ruining all the hard work we put in. Video coming soon.
It's great.
I love video coming soon. Just so
I like that he owns it.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I like that they own it and say, look, it's out there. You can't, once it's out there, you can't act like it's not, right? So they own it. They do the, thanks. You wrecked it all for all of us. I would say, though, my piece of advice for NFL teams would be, if you truly want it to be a reveal, then truly tell nobody and don't have it ready to be sold to Fanatics the day of the launch. Wait a couple of days. Say you can buy them in 5 days. If you really want, because what NFL teams want out of their social media teams is they want the viral moments. They want the likes, the hits, all of that stuff. That's why when they release the schedule, I think it's beginning of May, you'll see these elaborate videos, the schedule release. Remember the Browns a few years ago did the one with The Office with Miles shredding as Dwight Schrute shredding
the Chargers did that anime one a few years ago that everybody really liked. Yeah.
Yeah. So they put all this effort into these schedule drops because they're graded. Those groups are graded by likes, hits, retweets, all of that stuff, how viral they can make something go. So if you're looking for that at a uniform reveal, then you just can't tell anybody and you're just going to have to wait a couple of days to sell them because otherwise this is what's going to happen. By the way, they look great.
Yeah, they do. We talked about like the cheat code of like doing a black alternate jersey. They've got like a charcoal one, which I'm just really not sure Detroit needs because I love their color scheme as it is. But yeah, they the other two, the away white and the home blue, play the hits. Look like Barry Sanders did out there.
Pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Oh, they're putting more out now. They have. Oh, they do have. It is a charcoal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, you hadn't seen the charcoal?
No, I hadn't. They just put the one up of Goff. There's a video of Goff looking at the charcoal one. So is there a black one too? Because in the original leak, it looked like there was a black one too.
I think it's just that charcoal look. So if you just search Lions on Twitter, there's a bunch of people aggregating it right now. And there's three jerseys, a white, a blue, and that charcoal.
Okay. The charcoal is the, I mean, it's pretty damn clean. I mean, it's a Barry Sanders looking uniform. Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that black one is actually the charcoal. Okay. There you go. All right. Time for a little higher, lower. Hit it.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Today's Higher or Lower comes to us from The Athletic. Austin Mock, in advance of the NFL draft, which starts 1 week from tonight.
All right.
In Detroit. Obviously, the Bears they've been on the clock. They're going to take Caleb Williams, and the draft will probably start after that. But this. From The Athletic's Austin Mock.
Wait, The Athletic has a guy named Austin Mock?
He's not doing a mock, though.
Why does he not do mock drafts?
I don't know.
It's pretty amazing.
Mock's mock. Just do it.
He does have NFL projection model ranking all 32 rosters ahead of the NFL draft. So all 32 teams, how your rosters looking 1 week out from when you will likely be retooling or reshaping the rosters that you currently have. Because I don't think a deal is going to get done for one of the top five until Thursday.
Agreed.
Then some madness could ensue. But at number one in this, the San Francisco 49ers. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs. Number three, the Baltimore Ravens. Higher or lower for the Ravens at three?
Lower. I think Baltimore is too high. They had mass exodus. Patrick Queen playing for the Steelers now? I mean, they had all sorts of they couldn't pay everybody. So, no, I don't think Baltimore should be three on this list. They also have to redo their entire coaching staff. I know this is just rosters, but I would not have Baltimore. I don't think Derrick Henry going to that roster offsets everything they lost on the defensive side. I think he's got it right with San Francisco at one because I think he's saying rosters overall, top to bottom. And so for that, I wouldn't have Kansas City number one because they have weaknesses, but they have a unicorn at quarterback. So a wizard at quarterback. So that's what I would have them number one on a power ranking, but I do think San Francisco has the best roster. I would definitely move Baltimore down. I think that's too high for them.
Yeah, it's just so hard, like ranking rosters. I feel like you have to take the quarterback out of it because everybody knows who the quarterbacks are. And it changes the equation so much because with Patrick Mahomes, yeah, the Chiefs can definitely be number two. They should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. But if you take Patrick Mahomes out of it, it's just a good roster. It's not great. Like you said, it has holes. And is that what are the Ravens getting a Lamar Jackson bump? Are they getting the star bump of the idea of adding Derrick Henry? It feels like these rosters are good enough and these are three of the top five teams probably in any power rankings right now. So let's just put them at the top of this. But it's just, I would rather see a list of ranking them when you took the quarterback out of the equation because it just it changes the grading curve a little bit too much. And that's why San Francisco gets to be number one. They might be number one even if you take out the quarterback. But Brock Purdy has proven that, no, he's a real starter in the NFL, a real dude that can play for them, especially in the Shanahan system. So they're good at number one. I would, again, I don't know what to do with the quarterback situation, but my gut is they let Jarius Sneed go. Okay, they locked up Chris Jones. Travis Kelce is aging. They don't have other weapons besides him. I know Patrick Mahomes is that important, but my inkling would be to actually put Kansas City lower from a roster standpoint.
Yeah, the Chiefs do not have the second best roster right now in the NFL. The Ravens do not have the third best roster right now, and I'm not so sure the Buffalo Bills at number four should even be in the top five. But at five is Philadelphia. At six, the Detroit Lions. Seven, the Dallas Cowboys. Higher or lower for any of those teams?
So, I to me, roster top to bottom, Detroit would be higher on this. I think Philly should be higher on this. I'd probably have them ahead of Buffalo as well. Buffalo's lost a ton. They got to rebuild their secondary. They're in a total. They're not in a rebuild.
Who's wide receiver one? Curtis Samuel?
Great question. They are not in a rebuild, but they are certainly in a reconfigure stage of their development. So I would have them lower than this from a total roster standpoint, and I would have Detroit up a little bit. Did you mention Dallas?
Probably, but they're at 7.
They're at 7, yeah. I would have Miami up higher, too, on this list.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the Lions being up higher. The Eagles, I need to see that they can, with, you know, they brought in Kellen Moore. Can they get that offense going? Is Jason Kelce going to take away the tush push? I guess was he a secret to that sauce? I know, obviously, Jalen Hurts and his athletic ability with how strong his legs are a big factor in it. But do they still have that to them? And Jason Kelce no longer on the roster. So that, I question mark around the Eagles, but I do still think it's really good. Detroit was already good and improving before last year's draft. Then they had 2 first-round picks. And maybe they weren't the sexiest picks in the world, but they both hit, and they became true starters for them at tailback and at linebacker with Jack Campbell. So that, okay. So they went out there and said, hey, we might have some holes position-wise, and they filled them. They delivered on it for the season. Are they only being dropped here because you're comparing Jared Goff to MVP-caliber quarterbacks? Again, that makes the ranking of the rosters too difficult, and I think you're splitting the hairs in the wrong direction. I think I would probably have the Lions ahead of the Chiefs right now as far as a roster goes.
At 8, the Miami Dolphins. 9, the New York Jets. 10, the Cincinnati Bengals. Higher or lower there?
Well, the Jets roster, you're right, it's really hard with the quarterback thing, because quite honestly, Cleveland's roster is better than some of these teams, top to bottom. It just is. I mean, the Browns are going to go into the draft without needing anything. They don't need anything. They don't need to draft any. There's no starter that's going to get drafted. I suppose if a defensive tackle really popped, they would potentially there. But much like the Jets, they have a massive question at quarterback. And I do think it's fair to say that Aaron Rodgers is a massive question coming at quarterback. He's 40. He's coming off an Achilles. But everything else on their roster, like if he's old Aaron Rodgers, last year I picked him to win the division. And they're better now. So, like, they need to be higher on this list. I also think that there's a pretty, I think Cincinnati's in that same boat. All right, so Jets, Bengals, Browns, for different reasons, but all quarterbacks coming off of borderline catastrophic injuries that cost them their season. Like, if you take the quarterbacks out of Jets, Bengals, Browns, how do you rate those three rosters?
Oh, man.
Browns, Bengals, Jets?
I don't know. The Jets
are all close.
Browns, yeah. Jets, Bengals.
I can be convinced of all of them. It's interesting, too. He has the Bengals at 10, but he says that the ranking does include T. Higgins. We had that. T. Higgins last week affirmed that he's going to play for the Bengals, even though requesting the trade, but who knows what's actually going on with him. And that's what he said as far as most recently. And with him in the mix, I understand that the Bengals aren't great at any other position group outside of quarterback and wide receiver, but they are good in those other position groups. And if we're rating quarterbacks that high, yes, Burrow's coming off the injury, but it's weird because going through the list, it doesn't look like the Bengals got the Burrow bump that these other teams got for their quarterbacks.
Read what they wrote about, read what he wrote about the Browns, Reese.
So Cleveland's all the way down at 14, which even for me is silly on this. They're not the 14th best. They don't have the 14th best roster. They probably have a top 10, in my opinion. Browns would be Super Bowl contenders if they had a reliable quarterback. Honestly, if they had an average quarterback play, I think they'd have a top 10 roster. Unfortunately, Deshaun Watson has not been good in Cleveland, nor has he been healthy. Outside of that, the Browns could probably use another wide receiver, maybe some offensive line depth, but they're solid or better across the board.
I feel like that write-up is that lets the cat out of the bag that he's ranking quarterbacks, not rosters.
Because that's why I had you read it. At 13, the LA Rams, who just lost one of the greatest defensive players of all time.
Right, but he's, yeah.
So and his lead on this is Matthew Stafford is still here.
Okay, so if Matthew Stafford played for the Cleveland Browns, would the Browns be 5th?
I guess.
Yeah. I do think that there is a, the Browns thing's so fascinating because I think there is a disconnect in terms of what they think Watson can be and what he's shown. Because the way everybody else views Watson is, it's done. Cooked. And they're betting a lot on it not being cooked and a belief that it isn't. And you have to, right? You invested in
They've already done the bet. Yeah, they've already paid up on the bet.
They've made the deal. Yeah. No, it's so that is going to be a pressure-packed offseason, certainly. Andrew Berry talking today about it, and we'll get you a little update on that, and also an update for where the Jackets go from here. Pascal Vincent with some interesting comments. We'll get into that. Porty coming up at 11:33. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hoops action certainly heating up. Tipico Sportsbook, the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games, earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cash back in the industry, up to 5% cash back on your bets. Sign up now and enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus. When you bet $25, you just download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER for more on that. I saw Andrew Berry talking up in Cleveland today. So there was a little bit of consternation yesterday about Deshaun Watson had an availability earlier in the week and was talking about his injury timeline. And I think this is the thing that they've missed a little bit in their messaging, is people want to know, when are you back? The reality, the simple answer to that is, and Stefanski was available earlier this week and Andrew today, and Andrew is more direct. He said, we anticipate him being back to start the season. So, we anticipate him being full go for camp. He even said he's throwing, 40 yards now. And Deshaun was asked point blank, and this is what I took most note out of. He said, I'm throwing with my 100% velocity. Now, not all the time, but he's throwing hard. So that tells you, I think, all you need to know. I would also say, like, if you're on that beat and you're trying to pin down an exact date, he's a human. You don't know how things are going to respond. But I think this all goes back to the way they handled it last year with him, with they were saying he was going to play. He was saying he wasn't. How long did the injury go there? There just was mismessaging on all of it, which leads to confusion, which leads to distrust, which leads to a situation now where, quite honestly, the only thing that's going to quiet any of the talk around him, and they even alluded to this in the Athletic article, is him playing well. That's it, Reese. All the rest of it, that's the thing that's hard. Like, if you're on that beat or in that content world, like, nothing really matters until you see him play well.
And it's always been such a, I'll say, messy relationship between members on the beat and the organization itself, yeah, and players in the organization, that there is so much just mistrust there's so much mistrust with the Browns and the people that cover the team and people that are fans of the team, where it really is as simple as he'll be ready when. And it's tough because you're right. You want an exact date, but you're not going to get one because nobody really knows. And so I'd seen Watson's comments, and I'm like, well, what can he say? You know, he is in a lose-lose situation there.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job today saying 40 yards, saying he's throwing with velocity. But you can't. I'm a Browns fan. You can't ever please us.
No. I also thought it was pretty. Pretty direct, the comments, unfortunately, the reality, the comments from Nick, from Andrew Berry about Nick Chubb, about how he just started running on ground.
So he's running underwater before that? Yeah, it's not.
Submerged treadmills. But like, what?
He had two surgeries. Like,
and he's already had knee surgeries before.
And I haven't seen it's interesting because I don't see the same stuff I do with Watson and Chubb, with Watson that I do with Chubb. And I just think, like, you can't expect Chubb. He'll be there.
Yeah. This probably the reality, like, no one would ever want to doubt Nick Chubb, but the reality is, if you think he's going to be, when we had Jake on Monday, we talked about that, and I think he's spot on. Like, I agree with him. I think Nick Chubb was headed for 1800 yards last season. I mean, I think they were ready to go. Like, he was primed. He was looking unbelievable, and they were going to let him run. And I think he was headed for that. I think he was headed for 1,800 yards, 15 touchdowns, NFL most outstanding offensive player, that type of stuff. the knee happens, and so with that, you have to acknowledge there's a very likely chance that he won't be the same ever again. I mean, he's had multiple catastrophic knee injuries, and this one was two ligaments in the knee, two separate surgeries in the knee that had to be repaired. So it's a long, long road back. Now, whatever that road is, he will attack it with vigor, but you cannot act like that it's something that you're just going to rehab an ACL, like it's the first time you had an ACL injury.
Yeah, and I think it's also something like, you know, read the tea leaves on what the Browns are doing, the way they're approaching, the way they're talking about him. They restructure his contract. Now, that was probably something that they were looking into no matter what, but it definitely was something that they were going to do after that injury. And then when is he going to be back? What part of the plan is he going to be? And even when he does come back, what factor is he going to be in the offense? Because it's hard for me to imagine that they expect him to come back. Especially, I don't even think he's going to be ready at the beginning of the year. But then to come back, and whenever he does come back, be like, oh, Nick Chubb's back, put him back there, and we'll give him all the carry. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case. He's not going to be the same guy anymore.
They're going to go spread. It's going to be a very different look for them next season. They will primarily be out of the shotgun. So that's why I do think for them in the draft, I know a lot of people saying defensive tackle, offensive tackle. I think they probably will lean on that. But if a weapon were to slip and be available, I wouldn't be surprised if they would do that too, because it's an arms race and you have to have weapons. The Blue Jackets had their state of the state press conferences yesterday. Pascal Vincent available. This season obviously did not go the way that they wanted, so much so that there will be a new man making decision on how to put this roster together going forward. I saw this from Sean Corrali too, talking about culture and how to build it and comparing what they had in Boston to what they had here, which are obviously drastically different. Vincent was asked about culture in the rebuild. Here's what he had to say.
It's all about culture. It starts with culture. Everything is about culture. When you wear the Blue Jackets, a jersey, this is what is expected. And the culture is, to me, is everything. Why? Culture is a set of behaviors. How do we present ourselves to the rink? How do we play those games? How do we manage leads? How do we manage trailing from one or two in the games? How do we show up on days that we don't necessarily feel like it because we're tired? It's been a tough road trip or a tough schedule. Having that set of culture where that kind of culture where we're going to work and we're going to enjoy working and we're going to try to be that hardest working team in the NHL. That's one part of the culture, playing for each other, supporting each other. If one guy's not going, we know we have a system that will support that one guy not playing. Everything is about culture.
I asked this question of Jody once this season, because we were talking about this during all of the losing. I'll ask it to Porty in 7 minutes. Can you create culture amidst losing? And if so, are you creating the wrong culture? Because you can talk about hardest working team. You can talk about the pride of wearing the sweater. You can talk about how do we just respond down a goal, down two. But if it does not elicit results, in other words, if you're not good, how can you create good culture? If you don't have, I don't think you can, is the long and short of it. You have to have success to have culture. Otherwise, it's bad culture.
Yeah, and it worked for a while there with Tortorella, but then they've kind of keep going back to his tree from guys who were here while he was here, and it's not coming together for them. Yeah, they finally tried to go out and get Babcock. I'm not sure that would have gone as far as building culture. It didn't even make it to the season, and seemed like
Yarmo there was a and JD there. Like Tortorella's
they style. Like hard nosed guys.
Yeah,
but I think it's time to zag. For the Blue Jackets.
They already
it's
have, because they're not going to be the ones making the decision, right? Yeah. I don't know how much JD will have a lot of power in that, but I'm guessing you're not going to get somebody who worked for him before.
No, I think Pascal Vincent even said that at the end of the season, was like, my job is as safe as whoever like the next GM is. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that, because, yeah, if the next GM could come in and completely change it, and that's what you would hope. Can that jumpstart a culture and something that you can build on? But like you said, when you're losing, are you building the wrong culture, or are you never establishing a culture, or are you losing enough that your coach gets fired and then they restart a new culture next time? But right now the Jackets don't have what Boston has, and Corrali is correct on that.
No, not in any way. Go ahead, Reese, quickly.
Just going to get one more culture. In the segment.
It's good.
Hashtag culture.
All right. We'll ask Porty. He's been around a long time. If he were the GM, what would he do this summer? We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter doesn't have a mullet, but he's knee deep in mullet energy. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. you can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's get smarter, kids. Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Aaron Porcelain, great friend of the program, great friend in general, covering the Jackets, the Athletic. All right, you've been around this team long, long time, this franchise for a very long time. I'm giving you the job as general manager. What do you do this summer?
I would want to be hired really quickly so that I've got all summer to make a lot of moves, because I think what this franchise needs is not someone who, as they like to say, other teams like to say, fits the culture. I want a guy that comes in here and is a disruptor, who creates an entirely new culture and has done it before and has that sort of experience. I for sure changed the goaltending at the top. However that has to happen, I for sure take a really hard look. I'm not smart enough to know if the training staff is – the medical staff is in any way to blame for the rash of injuries, over 1,200 man games lost the last 3 years. That's a hard look. It could be a product of them just being young and not big enough to play with the big boys in this league, but it could also be that they're not doing things as well as they could. I'm taking a hard look at the coaching staff, taking a hard look at how the leaders in this dressing room are empowered to lead, how they are. They've got guys here, Corrali, Goodbranson, Jenner, Warenski, who can be those leaders. Are they empowered to be that? They sure would be under my next head coach, if that's not Pascal Vincent. I think literally every, and I think Scott Housen long ago when he came in as GM regrets not doing more of this when he took over. He tried to fit in and evaluate. I think it's time for a lot of new faces and an entirely new direction, and I think that can take a lot of different directions. Really,
it's interesting. Yeah, I asked this to Jody once during a Shelley time, and I was listening to Pascal Vincent from earlier in the week, and was listening to Sean Corrali, which I thought his comments about the Boston comparisons were fascinating, but very, very accurate. And so I'll pose it to you. How can you build culture without success?
Yeah, well, that's the chicken and egg question, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
To me, where they're at right now is just sort of this wandering, aimless, what are they? What are you? And part of that is everyone agreed, I think, with the approach 3 years ago that it was time for a rebuild, and let's just call it what it is. You're rebuilding the roster. But that is an undertaking, and it requires patience and suffering. And it does not then make sense to sign Johnny Gaudreau. It does not make sense then to add Severson and Provorov last summer. That's not what a rebuilding club does. To go through this season, there have been, it is not without hope. I've said that every time we've spoken. But to have Adam Fantilli moved to left wing instead of facing Connor McDavid, to not have David Yurecek in the lineup against Edmonton. What are you doing? This season was coached as if it was about wins and losses, even though all of us looking on when they went through the 9-game losing streak in November was like, well, this is not a season about wins and losses. This is, again, a season about development. Of course it is. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like it proceeded that way a lot of times. And let me say this for the maybe 300th time. I'm not arguing that David Yurecek had to be in the NHL this year. If he's not ready, he's not ready. But you're the guys that played him 37 games in the first half of the season. And now you're telling me that you've known all along he's not ready. You're the one who told him to get a place and then 4 days later sent him to the minor leagues. What are we doing here? Like, those are the questions that surface. If David Yurecek spent the entire season in the AHL, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't go this way with it. I want to see Adam Fantilli at center. You drafted a franchise center. Go with it. It's not too much for him. I don't think it's too much for him. It can't be. If it's too much for him, you may have gone the wrong way here. I don't think you did. So there's just stuff like that where what are they trying to be? They should have never told people before the start of last season that this was a playoff team. You had 59 points the previous season. 59. Yeah. That leaves you at least like probably 40 points away from talking that way, in my opinion. So it's just knowing who you are, projecting who you are, having a direction and sticking to that. Now you've put yourself in a weird spot where you're caught in between, and that's no place to be.
It is no, it's not. It's Nowheresville is where it is. And yeah. So I guess what I think, because when I'm listening to you there and I think, my God, you think about how many cooks were in the kitchen over the, Yarmo makes that comment about being in the playoffs. That was just nonsense. When he made it, all of us knew it. You knew that wasn't possible. And then they were kind of coached in different ways. So when it comes to hiring this general manager, I guess the thing that I'm curious about is who's making the hire. And how much power will they have? Because John Davidson's still in the organization.
Yeah, so this is a big can of worms here, too. The people whose due diligence led them to Mike Babcock are the people who are charged with making this hire. I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm saying that should concern people. I've heard from some people that it is Davidson whittling the list and Priest ultimately making the call. John Davidson will tell you that they're both very involved in this decision. The other issue is this, like, if the person they want experience, and I think they're going to hire someone and turn it over to them and let them really go at this thing, which, again, would be a new frontier a bit. If the person they're really hot after currently works for a team that goes well into the playoffs, this could be a while. And then you're hiring them and expecting them to make really big changes. If they don't hire them until June, it's going to be difficult because a lot of the moving chairs will be well underway at that point. So I do think they want someone to come in here who has done it before, who knows what they, how to build a team, how they have built a team in the past, and will look at everything as John Tortorella, as Coach did a few years ago, from an entirely different perspective than everybody else did, and it serves you in the end. You hear Ken Holland's name. He may just want to retire. You hear Mark Hunter's name, who's built got NHL experience, has built monster success at the London Knights program of the Ontario Hockey League. Those are some names I think to keep in mind. I think there will be a lot of other guys too. Interesting, isn't it, that John Davidson is willing to change his title, currently as president, if that means fitting somebody in. And interesting, isn't it also, that 3 days after that comes out, Bill Zito has the president's title in Florida and gets an extension as well. That ability to offer the president's title to someone who is currently just a GM allows them to interview if the person's interested, and allows a candidate a chance to leave his GM's job to go to another GM job, as long as he has the president title there. So Chris McFarland, currently in charge of the Avalanche, that's a guy maybe you could entice him to come back by giving him the presidency. He absolutely loved Columbus. Jeff Gorton, now in Montreal, hearing he wants to stay put. He's in a great spot there. But that would allow him consideration to leave Montreal to come to Columbus. It's a really good time, Bo, to be looking for a GM. Mm-hmm. They've got a really, really interesting group before them if they choose to pursue it. And they've had well over 50 people apply for the job, or at least express interest in the job. So it's all there for them. They just got to make the right choice.
That last sentence is everything with the organization, right? For 20-some years. Yeah. It's all there. They just have to make the right choice. It's always the right choice for us when we get to talk to you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Thanks. All right, that's the great Aaron Ports line. Covers the Jackets at the Athletic. Yeah, it's all there. They just have to make the right choice. That's it. And so often they haven't. So this is critical juncture, obviously, for them going forward as they've been stuck in the mud for quite some time. We hit three things on a Thursday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Drink recommendations, movie reviews, sports discussion, and whatever the hell Reeser does. This is Bishop and Friends.
For those of you who are not yet married, or have not yet, maybe not been, maybe a guy like Chops who's new into the marriage, or those of you out there considering it, I just got a text from my wife that said, I think I'm going to repaint the whole house.
Outside or inside?
Inside.
Okay. The whole house?
Can't paint the outside, but the inside. And I said, so we never discussed this. It's not like it was something that was top of mind. She's never come to me and be like, I don't want to change the color. So, like, how does this kernel of an idea becomes this afternoon she's got a painter coming over here to start pricing it out? Like,
I think I know how that happened.
We have not talked.
Yeah, she didn't talk to you. That's how it happened.
She just did it. We built this house in 16. Like, we just did this.
She had very different opinions on wall colors back then.
I think the same person who's driving NBC to the expensive colognes is driving her to paint the houses. That's what I think's happening. What do we got on the poll, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's fan poll at 971thefan.com asks, should Bo Bishop paint his house? 75% of respondents say yes, absolutely.
Just light money on fire.
Real Daily Fan Poll asks, would you want Bill Belichick to be a head coach of your favorite NFL team for the next 3 years, starting in 2025? 74% say no, they would not.
Doesn't it feel like he's going to be coaching the Dallas Cowboys if it goes bad?
I agree with that.
It's kind of the one spot.
And I disagree with the voters. I'd take Belichick. I mean, there are some teams where if you're
good,
I could see some fan bases being like, no, I really like my coach and the situation we're in. But for most, I think you'd take Belichick. I think I would too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you have a roster that's locked in and a veteran quarterback who has an offense that he wants, you know, kind of like when Manning went to Denver, like that type of a situation, I feel like he'd win. I think he'd win in those circumstances. He just can't draft.
No, don't hire him as your GM.
Yeah,
that's. But can you separate the two? Like, you can't get Bill without letting him have control of the roster.
You could in Dallas if you're Jarrah, because you're the GM and you own the team. So that, and he did it with Parcells.
How'd you paying him though? Okay, yeah.
What does he care?
Also, after going through a hiring cycle, he has a lot less leverage.
Yeah, Jerry's probably getting a little bit more desperate as the sand in the hourglass.
Oh boy. My all-time favorite Jerry Jones was when they did two-a-days, and he wouldn't wait for Steven to get on the chopper. Like, Steven was on his way, and he's like, to hell with it, we're going. He can get another chopper ride over to the
stadium. When you add extra salt to a McGriddle in the morning, you're ready to go.
You are ready to go. Let's hit three things.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me. So, Champions League going on over in Europe. Yesterday, Real Madrid and Man City played the second leg of their two. This was as much... I don't even care if you like soccer. You don't even have to. You just like sport at its highest level. This is stunning stuff. So they played in Madrid, 3-3 draw in a game that was played like a final. Then they played yesterday in Manchester. It goes 4-4 and it goes to PKs to win it. And these are two of the three best teams in the world, might be the two best teams in the world that were playing each other. And it ends in PKs in the quarterfinals. The only thing that sucks is it's not a final or even a semifinal. Unfortunately, it was in the quarters, but it was wildly entertaining.
New Chops TV posted yesterday, so you can get that wherever you get podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at @_ChopsTV. Same handle on TikTok. We post some clips every week from the episodes. This was a hodgepodge one. We it was raining as we recorded, so we said, hey, storms could cause us to get struck by lightning and possibly go into the internet. That's a popular thing in movies. We also talked about season two of Invincible. Tim Robinson had a live I Think You Should Leave show, plus he's getting an HBO show, so some thoughts on that. Players is a bad rom-com on Netflix that you don't need to watch. And Ripley, also on Netflix, looks beautiful, but
it's tough.
Check it out, the podcast, to see our full opinions.
It's a tough watch.
I got a lot of you people asking at 971BFS where yesterday's podcast is. Look, I got an email on Wednesday asking if I'd like to join the Illuminati. And of course, I would love to be part of the world elite. So I clicked on a link. 2 minutes later, it was a company-wide internet outage. I guess my bad, but that's the reason the podcast didn't post. Similar with Rothman and Ice, because I'd say about the last 45 minutes are going to be a tough to dig from yesterday, just because, again, the company lost internet, so we didn't really have any backup capability. We will effort Wednesday's podcast for you to get it posted wherever it is you do your podcasting. Fret not. Thursdays will be up at its regularly scheduled time. And number I'm not two. Part of the Illuminati, so not we're all yet. Losers, I guess.
Not yet, you're not. Number two for me, you mentioned that show on Netflix. So I watched two episodes of that, and I'm all in on Shogun's Unbelievable. They drop, but it's an episode every week, so you can't binge it. So I've been watched first three binge, then I've caught up. No spoilers. If you haven't seen it, I won't do that. But I am starting to get that there's only one episode left, and there's no plans to do a second season. This is, to me, the perfect example of a show that needed more time. And I think if they would have known it was going to be as big a hit as it's been, they would have taken a little more time with the storytelling, because it is riveting stuff. You can't take your eyes off it because it's subtitled. I'd put it up with almost anything, but it does feel a tiny bit rushed trying to get through all of this in 10 episodes.
Whereas the Ripley story makes more sense as a movie, if only they've made that.
It's beautiful to watch. Amy and I were watching at Chops, and I said, I paused it and I said, can we acknowledge that this is beautifully done, incredibly acted, and also a tough watch?
All things are true.
That's where I'm at with it.
This one, I've documented. I've been getting more into reading as of late, and I've come across something. I think both are great, but I don't like when people say that, like, nonfiction is smarter than fiction. I think it's a misnomer. Why do I think that? Because I find that you can learn a lot from both. In fiction, you can learn a lot about relationships, motivations, people, vocabulary, storytelling, new and interesting ways to construct sentences and metaphors. You can learn that stuff from nonfiction. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I like both of them, but I think you can get a lot out of fiction. I also really enjoy, especially in older books, if you go back to something that's more of a classic or something from the 1900s, looking into the author and the time period it was written, it can really be enlightening to experience and analyze, like, the political climate and why the characters are like this and what these stories mean. There's a lot out of there. Nonfiction can be a great experience too, but don't turn your nose up to fiction. You'll learn plenty if you think about the words on the page and don't just take them for the story.
I think Jeff Goodman had the reporting about 20 minutes ago. Former Louisville and LSU star Haley Van Lith is transferring to TCU. She's going to be joining one of the Cavender twins there next season. They might not win an NCAA tournament, but boy, they're going to make a ton of TikTok videos.
Didn't one go back to Miami too?
Yeah, they're both back. They both have unretired after 1 year out.
That NIL is a real one, kids.
The real world is a real one, too, probably.
Yeah. I saw finally for me, real quickly, I saw the Browns were considering a third helmet for next season. Don't. You got two. You're good. The only thing I would say is, unless it is a true throwback one, like, just, you're good. You got a good look right now.
Last one for me, we got an umbrella for the outdoor table on our patio, and is there anything, like, more frustrating when you order something and you wait for it and then you open it up and something, just one little thing is broken? And on this, it's the crank. I open it up and I put it in the little hole in the table and the crank just fell out from it. And I look under and I'm like, well, there's no way for me to do anything. I can't open the umbrella at all. And then I have to go through the process of trying to put it back in the box, and everything's machine packed and nothing ever goes back into a box anymore.
Never.
Hey, thanks to the NCAA for approving a new rule that allows undergraduate athletes to transfer and play immediately if they meet specific academic requirements. Ignore that a federal court told them they had to do that in December of last year.
Yeah, I thought Amanda Krstovich, who's a friend of the program, goes, this is literally nothing.
They did nothing.
They did nothing yesterday,
the NCAA.
Absolutely nothing. Rothman and Ice up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
question from a listener? Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update's brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We've got day baseball in about an hour and a half, and the Cleveland Guardians will take on the Red Sox. Cleveland is even money on the money line. The total for the game is 9.5. Jose Ramirez plus 550 to hit a home run this afternoon. Guardians are a half game up in the AL Central, but are currently plus 210 to win the division. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service, call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars, Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Center. Good afternoon. I'm Matt Andrews, NBA. The 76ers advanced, beating the Heat 105-104 last night. Philly will face the New York Knicks in the first round. The Bulls clamped down on the Hawks 131-116 in Chicago. Chicago now moving on to the Friday's next round of the play-in game to face the Heat. Also tomorrow in the Western Conference, the Pelicans meet the Kings to determine the conference's final spot. Heat star Jimmy Butler is expected to miss several weeks, though, with a right MCL injury, according to reports today. Former Buckeye running back J.K. Dobbins signing with the L.A. Chargers. He'll sign a one-year deal. And the Guardians are in action today in Fenway, 135 start. Carlos Carrasco tries to give him the series. This update is sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, give Mark Levy a call at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service, call.